You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
You may be seated in the house, and if you would, just open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been here before, and I'm excited about God's word in this matter that I know that we have been contending with. If you are taking notes, you might write this down now. The title of today's message is Lacham. Lacham, and that is spelled L-A-C-H-A-M. Lacham. The battle is yours. Lacham. The battle is yours. I want to encourage each and every one of us today under the sound of my voice as God is using it to understand that you are a spirit being and you are inhabiting a physical body. And when you got saved, when you said yes to Jesus, when you got saved, your spirit was reborn. And it is in a perpetual dynamic of growth each time you introduce yourself to the Word of God. It is in a perpetual aspect of eating God's Word. It is food for your spirit, God's Word. And in that, with any aspect of nourishment, that nourishment has to be used. And so what we're finding in our lives as believers, as spirit people in human form, that there is, in fact, a battle going on. Those who don't know who God is, they're really not fighting. Listen to what I'm saying. If you don't know who the Lord is, you are operating in the kingdom in which you were born, the kingdom of darkness, and in that you are going through the motions of life until somebody introduces you to a different way to live. And it is our responsibility as believers to constantly introduce God to those who don't know God. We don't do so by just speaking, but we do so by demonstration. It was Jesus' example to the people who saw him. It was that they heard who he was, and then when they came into contact with him, he demonstrated who he was. Are y'all feeling what I'm telling you? I'm saying that you as a believer, it's not just people don't care about you telling them that you know God and that you have a relationship with Christ, but they want to see a demonstration of that. What that relationship is supposed to look like. If it looks anything like what they've been doing, they ain't trying to hear you. Somebody lying. Hello? Is this thing on? And so we know the assignment. And we've been told, you know, and we've been in church and we've been going through the aspect of don't sin and don't do anything wrong and don't do this and don't do that. And we battled with that. We battled with that concept of trying to do right before people, not understanding who we are as spirit beings in human bodies, demonstrating God's kingdom so that others might be introduced to him. And the use of the nourishment that we have is for the battle that we are engaged in. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying, but you will. See, you have to understand that your battle is not with your brother and sister. Your battle is not with the people who are unsaved. Your battle is with a spirit who is trying to stop you. One, stop you from eating so that your spirit is not nourished, so that you won't have enough necessary to do what God has called you to do for the people who need to know him. It's hard to demonstrate God's power without God's power. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah. It's hard to demonstrate God's power without God's power. And what our enemy is engaging us to doing each and every day is to see how much you'll fuel or how less you will fuel. This thing of spiritual warfare. Today, I told Pastor Fred, we're going to move quick. Because I got things to say. I have things to say based upon God has been speaking to me since 4 o'clock this morning with new stuff. And it's stuff that has to come out today. So we're going to move quickly. Take your notes quickly. But more importantly, listen. Because everything that we know about spiritual warfare is about to be changed today. My God. Lakham, this word is used almost over 117 times, in the Old and New Testament. And it is a Hebrew word that means war. War. It is the physical aspect of war, but it is also the same term used when we deal with this term of spiritual warfare. It is this war that we do. The battle is not God's. God has already won the battle that needed to be won. It's your battle. It's your war. It's your fight. 2 Corinthians. Are y'all there? 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not lakam according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? The knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. John 10:10, we're familiar with this verse of scripture. It says, the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more. Did anybody know what abundant means? It means overflow, right? It means you have more than enough, right? Abundant. It means you have an overflow, more than enough, too much for whatever your need is, right? And Jesus says that they may have it more overflow while you're overflowing. Y'all didn't catch that, but... And so I had to begin to ask this question, really. God, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through and in God. Wait, back up, Lord. Although I walk in this flesh, in this human body, I do not fight this a particular fight that you're telling me that I am fighting in this body. I can't contend with the fight that I'm fighting the way that I would normally fight. How I normally defend myself in my flesh is either I yell, I scream, I physically deal with, I cry, I whine some more, I withhold myself from, I dictate, I demand. This is how I fight in my flesh. I do all of these things to win in the flesh what it is that I want to win. But you're telling me that those things don't work in the war that I'm actually fighting. They don't work. So, Lord, while I've been, and how many of y'all know that there's a real devil out here messing? I need y'all to understand something. He's messing because we are letting him mess. Okay. He's messing because we are messing in his territory. Let me say it clearly so you understand. Where he is, king, that's where we find ourselves trying to fight something that should be fought in our realm. In the presence of God. In the place of knowledge of God. In the place where God is, that's where we should be fighting this war. But our problem is that we have convinced ourselves that somehow we can fight the devil in the flesh where he rules. You don't believe me? Let me show you. Warfare started day, whatever this day was, in the beginning. Genesis chapter 3. See, we think that warfare just kicked in just as the enemy increases the things that we see him doing. But from day one, he's been coming at mankind. Sun Tzu said this in his book, The Art of War. Therefore, the business of waging war lies in careful study in the designs of the enemy. In other words, you need to know what he does in order to know how to fight against him. You have to engage your enemy first by understanding what he does. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent, you know what he said. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And y'all know the rest of the story. The enemy's tactics. He's a bully. Has anybody ever contended with a bully before? I want to see hands of those of you who have had bullying. And this is a big topic in school today. Bullying. Anybody in here, thank you guys. Anybody in here, let's be real, let's be honest. Anybody in here was the bully? Would you raise your hand if you were the bully? Let me see you. Come on, y'all. Join with me. I want to see. See, a lot more of y'all are bullies. Y'all just don't want to. Y'all like, I'm delivered from that. So, many of us had similar instruction on how to deal with a bully. My mom, her surefire remedy and cure for bullying was this: fight back. And many of us, when we were given that instruction, it came with this clause. And if you get your butt kicked there, when you get home, I'm going to kick your butt. That's just wrong. But wait a minute. Listen to the science behind the instruction. I know that you have the ability in you to defend what you know is right. Nobody has the right to put their hands on you. So you're going to go and you're going to represent and demonstrate your right to be. If you don't, when you come back, I'm going to whoop on you to show you how uncomfortable it is for your rights to be violated. Until you get it in your head, when you go out, you are to demonstrate your right to be. Y'all, you're not hearing what I'm saying. What happened here in the garden is God allowed the enemy to come into the garden. So listen to me. Understand the first aspect of warfare is when you get to a place of comfortability and everything is good, please know that the enemy, listen, is going to be allowed to come in. And the first thing that he is going to test is he's going to test what rights do you know about yourself when it comes to this kingdom? What rights do you have to be in this comfort? What rights do you have to have the house that you have, the car that you have, the job that you have? What rights do you have? Who do you think you are to tell people God is good? Did God really say he's good? Okay. I need that job. I need some of that health. I'm going to mess with your children while you have instilled in them the truth of the word. I'm going to make sure that they defy your God. Are you comfortable now? I'm talking about warfare, y'all. I'm talking about y'all think that it comes when all it's all bad. Now, the results of it all is all bad. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But that's the bad part where you're sitting in which you shouldn't have to sit in. When it first comes is when you're comfortable. Whether or not you're in the word or not, when it's all good. I got some people in here that are newly married. What's up to the Weems? Good to see you guys back there. God bless you guys back from Jamaica. God bless. When it's all good, when it's all comfortable, you can expect. Now listen, you can expect for God to allow the enemy to come because he wants to prove to the enemy they know the kind of rights that they have in me. They know what I've said and declared about them. I just want to show you that they know. See, I struggled with this message a little bit because I come to the realization that all the time that I've been crying out to God and asking God to do this and asking God to do that, and why he hasn't been doing it is because he, just like my mama, he's been whooping up on me and pushing me back out there saying, go and fight for your rights like I showed you. And I've been like that little kid, I don't want to fight. And he ain't trying to hear you crying. He ain't trying to hear you whining. He ain't trying to, because he says, I know what I put in you. I know what teaching that you sat under at Life Community Church. I don't know about other places, but I know at Life Community Church, you've been told the truth. And now I'm allowing the enemy to come, and it ain't no game. The enemy is only here to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not playing. But wait a minute. It ain't the fact that he ain't playing. It's the fact that he's doing what God wants him to do. Y'all didn't catch that. He is doing what he has been assigned to do. He can do no more and no less than what God says for him to do. The question is, are you doing what God says for you to do? We're talking about spiritual warfare. Satan is indeed a bully, and he tries to hinder you, the child of God, from your inheritance, and he tries to prevent you from abundant life. He tries to prevent you from being the demonstration of the kingdom of God that God calls you to be. When you got saved, you were positioned as a person of influence and authority on planet Earth. The moment that Jesus died and came back and declared over us, now all power has been given to me, and now I give you authority. The moment that he declared that over every disciple of his, from that moment on, what has been echoing from generation to generation is that authority and that power to be demonstrated for each and every one of you who actually believe that you are a child of God. God, I just want the devil to stop doing this. And the Lord is saying, yeah, then stop him. The battle is yours. God, I just need some change. And so the Lord declares, then change it. The battle is yours. God, I just need something different to happen. Then he says, then change it and make something different happen. Make something different happen with what your confession has been. Make something different happen in what your perspective is. Oh, I don't know if I can win this fight. Then you will have what you say. That's the kind of authority that I've given you. Whatever you've been saying and whatever you've been doing, the manifestation of that is based upon your belief. Well, I don't know if I can live like that. Well, you'll have what you say. You don't understand how powerful you are. You don't understand the kind of authority that you are. You don't understand that you have been created in the image and in the likeness of God, and that hasn't changed. Sin has not altered or changed God's original plan for you. You don't understand that. You don't understand that the enemy, he tries to corrupt, he tries to counterfeit what God has done. And so what happens is the power that you're supposed to be using to demonstrate the kingdom of God, you're using it to demonstrate his kingdom. Nothing just happens, and the devil can't make you do anything. Listen to me. The first battle, he proved that. I can't just make these people, I can't just tell them, go ahead and disrespect or dishonor God. I need to know whether or not they even listen to God. That's the first line of attack. That he, are you even listening to God? Let me see if you, I know that God has been showing you some good stuff and he's been taking care of you, but have you been listening to him? Have you actually been the word that has been going forward, have you actually been putting that into practice in your life? Or has that just been a good word? Good word, Pastor. Good word, Pastor. And as soon as the battle comes, because it will come, the first thing that the enemy does, whether you recognize it or not, he's asking you, are you listening to what God is saying? And you don't understand, he's in the back of his mind, per his actions, because I'm listening. Ooh, my Lord, my Lord. Are you listening to what God has said about you? Because I'm listening. And I know what you're able to do. I know your ability. So what I need to do, because this, you are, listen, write this down. This is good. You are fighting not for victory, but you are fighting from victory. We talked about this before. How many of y'all watch wrestling? Watch wrestling? Saw it before, Hulk Hogan, holla. I don't know, whoever's the big guy right now, The Rock and all of those. Y'all understand that the act of wrestling is not fake. That the guys jumping off of the ropes and all that, that's real stuff that they rehearse and that they practice. That's real, but the entire performance is staged. That the guy who's supposed to win, he already knows he won before he even comes out to the shouts and the adoration. He already knows he's walking in from victory. So no matter what happens in that ring, they can smack him with a chair. They can throw him out of the ring and throw him onto the concrete floor. They can bang his head up against the ring. They can do all of those things. But at the end of the match, and y'all know how Hulk Hogan used to do it, right? He used to be like, God is looking for you no matter what you find yourself going through in your fight. Please understand there comes that moment. There comes that moment. And here's the problem. Our problem is we don't recognize the moment. And I want to be able to give you something that'll help you recognize when it's time to do your thing. When it's time to get yourself in a position where the people that are watching, the scripture says in Revelation, the issue of this, the not Revelation, but the scripture says this in this aspect of this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight. And all of these things that lay heavy on us. And do what? I want to hear y'all. What? Run the race with patience and endurance. And do what? Looking unto the author and the of whose faith? You fight from victory, not for victory. All right, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving. See, the enemy is not happy right now. So the first aspect of what we need to do is we need to discern that when I'm dealing with whatever and I'm dealing with, first point, discern the enemy. Is this an attack from the enemy? This drama that I'm going through, this pain that I'm going through, this frustration that I'm experiencing, per the circumstance that I'm dealing with. We got to be honest with ourselves. How have I been eating? Because if I've been eating good, according to the word, if I've been feeding my spirit, I can expect for God to allow the enemy to just allow me to exercise so I don't get spiritually overweight. But if I've not been eating, I have to check myself. Okay, well, I know that I haven't been reading, I haven't been praying, I hadn't been doing these things that I should be doing. I need to be able to discern. I know if I've been doing it, I know he's going to come. But I also know that if I've not been doing it, he's going to show up and he can tell me whatever he wants to tell me because I don't know any better. You got to be honest with yourself. The time you say, we say, spend time with God. We are declaring to you, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but the issue of you and I spending time with God is because within ourselves we have no power to deal with the enemy. In and of ourselves, we don't have an answer for what he brings our way, because when he brings it our way, he knows our response is going to be what's in his kingdom. Anger, frustration, language, dictatorship. This everything that is not of him, he knows that if you don't know who God is, you're going to respond the way I need you to respond. So when stuff is not going the way you want and you start cursing and you start doing all those things that you find yourself doing, it's because you are starving your spirit. The enemy knows it. And if I can keep you right there, eventually he will die. My job, simple: steal, kill, and destroy. So you got to discern the enemy and what's going on here. What's going on with the atmosphere where I know that it's supposed to be a godly atmosphere, but everybody's uncomfortable and everybody is fearful. Wait a minute, if they're uncomfortable and fearful, that's not a God environment. That's not a place where the Spirit of God is residing. I've got to change some things because the enemy has shown up. And if I allow him to reside here, what he will do is establish a stronghold. Brothers and sisters, simply a stronghold is this. It's where the enemy sets up a camp. He camps out. He builds up walls and stuff. And he says, this now belongs to me. And I will defend it to the death. And when you allow for things to continue on and you don't feed your spirit, the enemy sets up these strongholds, and now you have a lot more that you have to come up against because now he has laid claim to that which doesn't belong to him. How do you know this, Pastor? Well, if you go back to Genesis, do you see what he did? He posed a question. When that question was not answered right in terms of the word of God that she knew, he was able to corrupt that word. Deceive her, the scripture says, cause her to eat. And of course, her husband was right there with her. The scripture says she gave him some, he did eat, and everything was a wrap. What do you mean, Pastor? A stronghold was now over the entire earth. Everything that was Adam's now belonged to Satan. And what happens is now that Jesus has come back, what the enemy is trying to do, he's trying to get back and lay claim through deception. Through trickery, the Bible says he's cunning. Through cunning, he's trying to entice you so that he can establish what doesn't belong to him like he did back in the beginning. His game has not changed, brothers and sisters. What he did back then, he's still trying to do today. And what God owned is so far as the earth, God says that the earth is mine, and so that's not an issue for him. But what's serious for God is your soul. What's important to God is your soul and your spirit. And what are you allowing the enemy to lay claim of that doesn't belong to him? What are you allowing him based upon the word that the world is saying is the way to go? What are you allowing him and allowing through other people to enter into and to take over? And now you're dealing with shame, and now you're dealing with people talking about you, and the enemy is laughing at you. Why? Because you didn't know that it didn't belong to you. It belonged to God, and you gave it away. And we're hurt and we're frustrated, and each and every one of us in here, we have all given up some ground somewhere. This is why, you know, we can't run around judging people. We have to learn how to love people. Why? Because now the enemy uses that to accuse us, those of us who've messed up. He uses that to accuse us and say, look at you. You're supposed to have been some Christian. And he gets on us by saying, well, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be holding them accountable. Yeah, I am. But in love. in love, embracing them because, but for the grace of God, there goes me. Come on, y'all. Y'all not saying nothing right now. Y'all acting like y'all never did anything wrong. To warfare. We're fighting for the souls of people, and we're doing so. We're doing so in the wrong manner because we want to fight the devil, and we want to throw the word at him, and the enemy is not impressed with the word. He knows the word. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Satan is not impressed with your knowledge of the word. He's only moved by what you're going to do with that word. He knows the word like better than you might know the word. And the issue is that we try to be all holier than thou in terms of Satan get the behind me, and he gets behind us and kicks us. Pastor Fred, I said I was going to keep moving. You got to discern who the enemy is. Secondly, and this is one of the most important things. I don't want to rush through this, but I need to get to the meat of what God wants us to have. The second point is you got to know God. That word know is an intimate word. It's a word that speaks of intimacy. It's a word that says, man, I love you. God, I want to be just a part of you. I want to be enveloped in you. I want to be married to you. My God. This knowing God with a passion for wanting to do what pleases him. This is where the rubber meets the road in our relationship, because if we're going to begin to destroy strongholds, understanding that the weapons that we fight with are not carnal but mighty in God, then we've got to be in God in order to use the weapons. I'm going to say that again. You've got to be in God in order to use the weapons. You ain't pulling no strongholds down without the weapons, but you ain't getting the weapons if you don't have God. My Lord. Well, Pastor, yeah, we know that. That's why we're in church, because we're getting here getting information about God. But I just want this knowledge, this intimate knowledge of God, you have to understand that God, he says, he declares this in Exodus 3:14. I am who I am. I'm not who you think you want me to be. I'll say that again. I am who I am. I'm not who you want me to be or who you think I should be when things go awry. That's a good word, awry. Don't ask me to spell it, but it sounded good. I'm God, and I will be who I will be. I'm not changing for you. You change for me. Understand who I am in who I am. What do you mean? What do you mean, God? I am El Shaddai. What does that mean? I am the all-sufficient one. Do you know me? I am El Elyon. I am the Most High, and I am supreme. I am the Master. Do you know me? I am Elohim, God, all by myself, mighty, will smack you if you don't like it, God. Do you know me? I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the God who provides. Do you know me? I am Jehovah Shema. I am God, there wherever you are. Do you know me? I am God, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Do you know me? I am God, Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. Do you know me? See, I am who I am. And if you don't know me in that mannerism, then you don't know me. And if you don't know me by now, you will never, ever, ever know me. I had to lighten up a little bit, y'all. Y'all are a little stiff right now. Y'all know the song. And this is what God is declaring. I am who I am, but you're going to get to know me in who I am and not what you think you want me to be. Get to know me in who I am. And so how do I do that, God? Well, I'm going to allow an enemy. I'm going to allow an adversary. I'm going to allow him because I'm good. Y'all are not catching that. I'm a good God. I can't bring bad things to you. I don't know how to do that. I'm an almighty, many-breasted God. I am all-sufficient. I am all that you need. I don't know how to bring you bad things, but I have a person who's on assignment. And I allow him to do stuff so that you will get to know me in that intimate way. I will allow him to do things. I don't do what he do, but I let him do. Knowing that you, when you fight him, you're going to fight him from victory. There's some good stuff right here, man. And I'm doing this not so that you just get strong in your faith. I'm doing this so that when you pray over people, people get healed. I'm not doing it so that when you say something, it happens and people are impressed with you. I'm not doing it so that you can end up on TV and all these other places. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it so that you get to know that I am God. So when old dude comes up and he's talking about how beautiful you are, he ain't telling you something that you don't already know, young lady of God. You don't have to be impressed with him saying to you, oh, man, you are the finest thing on this planet. Heaven must be crying right now because they just lost an angel. You can tell him, brother, I have a reputation higher than angels, actually. Wherever you are in your relationships, and whoever you with right now, if he not getting right, just start praying. Just start praying. Just ask him one time before y'all go and eat. Just when y'all sit at the table, just begin to pray. Pray in authority. Pray power. Pray. And I ain't talking about being religious. I'm talking about now representing and demonstrating the kingdom. Look, if he stays, he might be a good guy. But if he starts squirming in his seat, Wait, I got to go to the bathroom. Leave him alone. All right, I digress. Last point, and then I'm going to get into the meat of what God wants us to get into. You know God, but also know your authority. Know your authority. You don't have any power except the power that God gives you. And you and I, we are responsible to demonstrate that power. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We have power over the enemy. Mark 6, verse 7, Matthew 28, 18, Luke 10, 19. We have power over circumstances. Listen, I know things happen. Lots of things, good, bad, and indifferent, because we're in this life. They happen. God allows things, and just things happen just because the enemy gets slick. But the bottom line is that you and I, we even over the circumstances that present themselves, we have power to choose how we will respond. Do y'all understand what I'm saying to you? What do you mean by that? I mean this. Many of us, and this is a touchy subject, but I got to go there, that we experience death in our families or death with friends. And I know many of us have had times where people, because they know us, they've asked us to come and pray. And they wanted us to pray basically the power to resurrect that person. Listen to me. God is sovereign. In that situation, that circumstance, your job and my job in terms of that circumstance is to be able to say, God, your kingdom come and your will be done. And if the people, you know, because many times people feel like, well, if God doesn't do this, then there must not be a God. No, that the fact that you are there demonstrates that God is here. And that he will allow whatever he will allow. But the reaction and your response, though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. So when it comes to circumstances, it's not about changing the circumstance alone. It's your attitude in the circumstance. And the attitude is this. Do you know God? Do you know that God is your peace? See, this is what I'm talking about when it talks about the knowledge of him. That's how you begin to break down these strongholds of bitterness and anger. This is how you break down the strongholds of you and God, and y'all not on speaking terms. Well, God is, he constantly speaking. You may not be talking, but he talking. And the issue is, well, God, I've moved so far away from you. And God says, well, anywhere you go, I am. Do you know me? And do you know the authority in Christ that you have? We're talking about spiritual warfare. And many times our approaches that we pull these scriptures that I pulled out and we want to be able to use them and say, well, God, you know, I want to change, just change the situation, change it. I want the devil to be defeated in every area of my life, not understanding that the devil is a tool that God uses to strengthen us in our resolve and our relationship with him. You and I, we got to get a different perspective on warfare because we're battling and we're fighting. And the reason why we're struggling so hard is because we're fighting the enemy in his territory with his tools. We're fighting the enemy with anger. I'm angry, God. I'm angry. I'm not happy with this situation. I'm pissed off. And I'm all of these things and I'm going to declare it. I'm going to say it and you say it. And the way that you say it is the way that it is. Blip, blop, blip, 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 beep, 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 beep. This situation is beep. Yes, it is. Because you don't know the power that God has given you. And when you say what you say, you have what you say. It's not just you declaring God's word. It's whatever you say, you will have. Love y'all. Don't depend on your enemy not showing up. He's going to show up. He's going to show up right in church. Right in church. He's going to sit down right next to you. You really believe all that he's saying? Aren't you hungry? Jesus, he ain't finished yet. It's almost noon. Girl, your phone. Check your Facebook right now. Right in church. Right there, right in front of you. Get thee behind me. So he'll go behind you. Say and I rebuke you. You don't even know how to spell rebuke. I'm saying the enemy ain't playing with y'all. He ain't playing with me. He's serious about his assignment. And the question is, God is allowing us to experience this, to answer the question, are you serious about your assignment? He's in his post. He's in his position. Don't expect him not to show up when everything is good, when the job is there and the money starts flowing. Don't expect him not to show up when doors start to open. And people, the favor of God begins to manifest. Don't expect him not to be there. As soon as the door of favor opens up, the enemy is right there. Right there. And waiting on you to just get comfortable like Adam and Eve. Oh, it's all good. I'm in heaven. I don't know why I want to sing today, but... But he's waiting for you to just get comfortable right where you are. Then he presents an option. He can't make you do anything, but he will present because now that you are comfortable with whatever you're doing, you start and I start, we start slipping. We don't pray as much as we used to when it was hard. You remember when it was hard? Good Lord Jesus, when it was hard, man, don't bother me. I'm praying. I'm serious about this. I need to get into my word. If you're going to hang out with me, we're going to hang out with the word because I got things that I got to get done. Amen. Y'all remember that? If you don't remember that, just wait. It'll come. But once you've got that victory, once you walked in that victory that God has already established for you, you get comfortable. Not prideful, but just, you know what? Whew. Jesus, Lord, you are awesome, God. I thank you. I praise you. I knew you, God. I knew that you could do it. I knew. I thank you, Lord, for answering the word for me. I'm just going to rest in you. Ding dong. And the enemy comes because now you are at a new level. You're at a new level. Listen, you're at a new level of relationship with God. You're at a different place in your relationship with God. No matter what you've missed, no matter what you've messed up in, when you finally get that victory, you had a new just dynamic of knowing God for who he is. And the enemy, he's going to do what he does. He's not convinced. He's not convinced that you're serious about where you are right now. He's not convinced that you, the child of God, who has now attained this level, you have transcended to a deeper relationship with God. He's not convinced that you want to stay there. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about here recently. When I looked out from this platform and chairs were empty. And I knew that, wait a minute, God. All this time you got me spending in this word, all of this transition that you have me going through, all of these things that you demanded of me, even throughout the course of my week, you're going to take time away. You're going to be away from everything and it's just going to be me and you. I did all of that, and God, I come to empty chairs. God, for all of the things that have been done in relationship with these people, and this is how they treat me. Wait a minute now. Where are you at? What kingdom are you in? How you fighting? That's warfare. Did you snuck up on me? I didn't even see him coming. And as soon as I opened my mouth, what are you saying? It's not, he is cunning, the word says. It's not going to be, hey, just disrespect God. It's going to be, well, God put you through all of that, and look, nobody's responding. I'm just giving you my testimony. I'm just sharing with you what's real for me. And I know that many of us, we deal with the same thing, but God brings us to another level of relationship, and the enemy's right there ready to shoot it down and drag us right back, what, to his side of the kingdom where we want to fight him with his weapons. Y'all remember David? You remember when he had to fight Goliath? The first thing that Saul wanted to do was what? Give David his armor. He couldn't fit the armor. I'm not used to this. What I'm saying to you is that when you go against the enemy, you can't go against the enemy with his kind of weapons. Goliath had the helmet. Goliath had the breastplate. Goliath had the sword. David didn't even have a sword, y'all. He had to go. Watch this. He had to go with God. All right, I'm coming for the one and final landing. Be quiet, Miss Cheryl. Yes, Lord. All right. Turn to Isaiah 55:11. We're definitely going to land. I want to say this to you. Satan only attacks his enemies. I'm going to say it again. Satan only attacks his enemy. You have to understand. I have to understand. He cannot attack. He can't attack God. God is not his enemy. You have to hear this clearly. Satan is not on par, on level. He's not on anything with God. Satan is not God's enemy. Satan is God's flunky. Created to do God's will the way God intends for him. And when he's done with him, he's done with him. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? So Satan is not God's enemy. And I'm on God's side. But yet I still struggle because God created me to function in two different worlds. I have this flesh body, but I'm spirit. And the only way that I can defeat the enemy and put him and make sure that he's in his place is to deal with him from the spirit. I can't deal with him from the flesh because the flesh realm is where he rules. Scripture is up. Watch this. Oh, you're going to like this, and then we're going to land. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God is speaking about his word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that in order to please God, what do we have to have? Faith. Pleasing God is living a life full of faith in his word. God says in Isaiah 55, my word will not return to me unaccomplished. The aspect of this word accomplished is the Hebrew word asa or asha. Watch this, y'all. It means accomplished. It means finished for the journey. It means fulfilled. It means fulfilled and done industriously. It means executed. It means fashioned for completion. It means to bring to pass. Now, watch this. It also means to accomplish what I will in a man. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall finish, fashion, complete in a man what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In a man. That Hebrew word, God is very specific in the use of this. We understand that God's word is God's word. But when he talks about what has to happen on planet Earth, it has to be fulfilled through a man. This is the reason why Jesus had to come in the flesh, and that why God didn't just speak things and make things. Because when he declared at the very beginning how the earth was going to operate in stewardship, rule, dominion from a man, in order to get that back, it had to come, his word accomplished, through a man. Y'all not catching this. Okay, so then Jesus accomplishes what he was set to do, the word made flesh. He accomplished what he was set to do while on earth, sitting at the right hand of the Father saying, it's done what you asked me to do, what you wanted me to do on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what I've done, though, I have caused now this multiplication of myself. I have caused now these individuals who have accepted this man, who this God who came in the form of a man to fulfill the word. They've accepted me not by seeing me, but by faith. Faith pleases God. Faith moves God. Faith is the thing that God gets excited about. Why? Because when he manifests his word, it has to come through somebody. He's just not shooting out his word. He's shooting out his word, and he's looking to see who I can become strong upon. My word is echoing throughout time, waiting on somebody of faith to reach out and say, God, you said. God, you have declared over my family. God, you have declared over my body. God, you have declared over this situation. God, I've lost a loved one, but you have declared my peace. God, I don't know what's going on. I haven't received my healing, but you say that I'm whole, so I'm going to walk like I'm whole. God, I don't know what's going on with my finance. I don't have enough to meet the need, but God, I know that you supply all of my need. He's waiting on somebody to be the accomplishment of his word. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying, or is this not right? You and I are not waiting on God to do anything, per se. God is waiting on us to be able to transcend our flesh, get into the spirit, and to declare what he has already said, and not just say it, but to be a demonstration. That's how his word will go forth, and it will do what he pleases, because what pleases God is faith. Y'all, and when I'm really operating in this faith, when I'm really walking in this faith, and when I'm walking in it with the confidence of who I know God is, not who I want him to be, not what I think or what somebody said, but as I'm spending that time and getting to know Jehovah, whatever he is, when I catch that and I operate in that, then whatever it is that I do, I'll have. This is why Jesus said, if you believe and not doubt, you can say to the mountain. He didn't say you can yell at the mountain. He didn't say you could scream at the mountain. He didn't say you can curse at the mountain. He said you could say to the mountain. Say what? Say what I said to that mountain. Say what I say to that stronghold. Say what I said to that man. Say what I said to that woman. Say what I said to them kids and stop yelling and screaming at them like you ain't got no sense. They're not hearing you like that. You responding to them in the flesh and they're going to respond to you in kind. But if you speak spirit and life to them, the enemy is thrown off. The enemy is thrown off. Y'all not here? He is thrown off. Get off me. And God's word will accomplish that which he set it out to do. And it in that thing, what thing? Whatever thing that you're speaking to, whatever stronghold that you need to speak to, whatever mountain that you need to speak to, in faith, when you speak to that thing, it is already a done deal. Now, I've landed. Here is rubber meeting the road. Some people, look, I'm looking around, and some people are uncomfortable. Y'all moving around, y'all, and y'all going to miss this. I've learned that the responsibility, a part of my responsibility is always to tell you the truth. And I've learned throughout the process of God growing me that my relationship with you as pastor is not just a title. It's a function to shepherd you and to tell you truth and encourage your heart, but also to demonstrate the Father's love for those that, for whatever the reason, he has decided that you would be in this place. And the Lord, he has given me this instruction, so I'm gonna fulfill what he said to do, because I am going to walk in the blessing of God in every area of my life to the best of my ability as God gives me strength to not have any stronghold or any hindrances of the enemy, because he talks to me too, and he tries to convince me of things based upon things that I feel and things that I have seen. So let me say this and express this to you, my brothers and sisters, that I ask you to forgive me for anything that I have done, any action that I have portrayed to you that was less than the Spirit of God in operation in my life, so that you would become all that God has called you to be. I ask you to forgive me of those times where it didn't seem like I was pastor to you. I ask you to forgive me of those times that you don't even know that when I should have said something to you because you wasn't acting right, I didn't. I ask you to forgive me for missing it with God when I should have given the instruction, when I should have given the discipline. Because just as God the Father loves us, he's given me an under-shepherd responsibility to father this church. I'm not your father. God is your father. But as a representative of his kingdom, I have a responsibility to father you and to give you truth. Just like an earthly father would, the responsibility to do what God has called me to do means that I'm not always going to say things that you like. But I'm going to ask you that if we have, now this is where spiritual warfare, this is what the enemy at the end of the day wants to steal. He wants to steal your relationship with God. He don't care about your life. In that sense, he wants the relationship to be severed. And what happens is we, the earthly church, are a representation of what's going on in heaven. and how God interacts with people, that we are supposed to be a physical representation. And so when I say or I instruct and you don't do, it's a reflection of our relationship with God. When I give a correction, and this, I'm not saying this because I'm correcting anybody, I'm just saying this to you because I'm asking you to forgive me for those times where I should have and I didn't. And a part of repentance is this, to first confess your sin. And once you do that, then you turn and you go the direction that God wants you to do. And I say this to you and I declare this to you because I know what God has called this church to be. I said it at the beginning of the year that we have been called to a place of completion. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's just 4, 3, or me and my wife when we come here on Sunday. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. But listen, because the problem is this. I know what God's church looks like. And it looks like us. And it looks like us in an area of loyalty and commitment to one another. It looks like us, as Pastor Tracy has been driving home, people who are generous and who are not stingy, who are obedient. Look, no stronghold can be destroyed until you bring into subjection all disobedience to the obedience that's in Christ. So which means that we don't have time to allow this level of warfare that we've been fighting to stay the way that it's been. Because I need you. I need you to step your game up. I need you to be kingdom people. I need you to stop making excuses for why you don't show up on whatever it is. I looked at the screen. I see all of the things that God has allowed us to be able to do. And each and every one of us should be mantling up, getting our weapons ready, and going out and handling this kingdom business. And this is not to nag, hey, I got a job and I got to do this. Please hear my heart. It's not, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when you should be in church and you laid up in that bed, you need to get your butt out of that bed because we need all hands on deck. And you're not here by accident. And you're not here just because, ooh, I like that church. No, you're here because the Spirit of God has quickened you to become more than what you are right now. The Spirit of God is saying that, you know, you can go any place and you could go to any church. It's not about that. It's really not about that. But it is about, well, if you feel like God led you here, then you're here to do something. My God. And we've given the enemy too much place, too much authority, too much say-so, and it's enough. 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 Hallelujah. Now, this is what happens, Brother Chris, in a moment like this. Spirit of God is moving in a different way. Because you've been challenged. And there's some that are not here. Probably needed to hear that, but rest assured that I have a new fervor. My wife knows me enough to know that if I have your number and I haven't seen you, I'm going to call you. Not to get on your case, not to judge you, but because I know what you're supposed to be doing in this place. Now, if you want to go someplace else and we'll do whatever they're doing, that's between you and God. But if you're in this place, We are about kingdom business in this place. Every man, every woman, every young man, every young woman, every child, we are about the kingdom right now, y'all. And if you don't want that worries you, you feel like, you know what, well, I'm not really where I need to be. If you stick around, you'll get right where you need to be because there are going to be people that are going to hold you accountable to the kingdom man or kingdom woman that you are called to be. And if you don't want that, I don't want people in my business. I'm not going to tell you to go anyplace because you're supposed to be here. I'm going to just shrug my shoulders and be like, deal with it. I got to tell you the truth. I got to love you. I got to love you through the pain. I got to love you through the mistakes. I got to love you through the disloyalty. I got to love you through the dishonesty. I got to love you through your thoughts about entertaining the enemy while doing God. I got to love you through all of that the way God wants us to love each other. So, do you forgive me? You receive what I've shared with you so far as my heart. And will you do now what God has called us to do? Will you do it? Will you do it? I'm looking for us to blow the kingdom of darkness gates off. They said we couldn't do it. They said that we ain't supposed to be here. They said that we were supposed to be dead in the water. They said that we weren't. They said that you guys weren't supposed to make it. They said that y'all weren't supposed to make it. They said that y'all weren't supposed to make it. They said we weren't supposed to make it. They said that you and your wife weren't supposed to make it. They said y'all weren't supposed to make it. They said, ooh, they said that y'all, they took your home. What you doing? And God, so many of us, they said that we weren't supposed to make it. You weren't supposed to make it, little girl. You weren't supposed to make it. Dave, you weren't supposed to make it. But look at God. Look at God.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.